You are listening to Jaya Ashmore. You can find hundreds of meditations and talks on my websites, jayaashmore.org, jayaashmore.org, as well as opendharma.org, opendharma.org. All the recordings are offered in the tradition of generosity or dana, and your gifts are welcome. Thank you for listening. So I'd like to just give a really brief practical overview of the next time before breakfast and then talk about generosity. So we'll have about half an hour now to talk about dana, which we translate as generosity. And then in the entry of the main house are your valuables. I don't know if everybody deposited valuables, so if you didn't, you don't need to. Valuables.
Oh.
Should we turn off the heating? Is it hard to hear?
Yeah.
So some people deposited valuables in a box. So if you didn't, you don't get to go. You don't get to go and take something out of the box. But if you did, that box will be in the entry of the main house.
Oh.
Okay. It'll be outside the drawing room. Oh, okay. So outside the drawing room is the valuables. If you need, and then inside the drawing room is the place where you could give, if you wish and can, donations to the amazing retreat organizers, and you could give donations towards Caroline and me for the teachings. If you would like to give cash that or check,
yeah,
that's in the drawing room. And if you would like to give instead or in addition by some method of that uses the computer, PayPal, credit card, bank transfer, that will be in the entry, just, you know, that upper part by the front door. If you remember 7 centuries ago when you arrived last week. And then is breakfast. So it's already kind of a an act of generosity to kind of bear with the patience of going through this whole process before breakfast, which is also has already been late and is even a little later today. But that was the best way we could figure out how to fit things in today. So of course the tea bar is there, so you know, don't go tea-less. But yes, it's so helpful to have all, it's not only helpful, but really necessary to do all of that before breakfast so that we can then go from there with all the accounting and practical side. So that's just sort of the basic practical schedule part. Thank you so much, basically, is the main thing, first of all.
Can I ask a quick question? If we're writing checks, who do we write the check to?
I think the best is if you leave the name to whom it's to be paid blank.
Okay.
Then we can trade around cash and things to different piles.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Is that right?
That's right. Just make sure you put it in the box that you want that check to be for.
Let's say you want to give a donation to the managers by check. So you put the amount and you sign it, but you leave to whom blank, but you put it in the manager's donation pot. That way we know that amount goes to the managers. It might be that then the check goes to pay the bread and the cash is traded from another place But we know that amount is from that, from someone to those people, the managers, for example.
Specific manager's name?
No, no, no. Just, you don't need to put any name, but there's a box. Okay, so in the drawing room, there are two boxes, and one is for Stu and Leia and Caroline, for because she's a superstar.
Done lots of organizing.
Done so much organizing. And they will share what goes into that box. And then there's a box that's for Caroline and me for the teachings, okay. And we will share what goes into the box. I didn't say that, thank you.
I didn't realize there was two separate donations. I have one check.
Yes.
I'd like to write one check.
So then you can write one check and put it in either box with a note that says, please put such and such for this box and such and such for that box.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank
your
you.
Name on the note, please.
Yes, and definitely please sign your note so that it goes together. Good, good questions. Anything else? Like that? So thank you so much for coming and staying here. Here, we're still here. And maybe it's easier to see in the others than in oneself. The just amazing, like, resplendence. Remember that. That unveiling that's happened. By really giving this to yourself, by letting life have you, letting you have life. So that's the kind of spirit of what's called dana. Dana means seed. So it's like that kind of the secret of life. That small, unassuming, so powerful, miraculous, it's really miraculous, that we can't, you know, from the outside to be able to see with our eyes, is this seed going to grow or not? No, it's, there's a secret, but it's just also so ordinary. So just remembering that also in life, that it doesn't always take very much. It doesn't necessarily take much time, and it doesn't mean doing much. That all that can unfold. It doesn't have to be so fancy and sophisticated and smart and together. And and like the way that seeds then, in good condition, sprout and grow, and then just so many ridiculous amount more of seeds from one seed. So similarly, with just giving time to the simple, and feeling what are the good conditions, and being in touch with good conditions, and letting it resplend, letting it unfold. It's not only the or maybe it's not so but like we recognize the goodness of that unfolding. It might be more painful or challenging, or but we can feel the goodness of it all the way in the bones and every cell. And it's not only in that moment good. It's like for years to come. Not only for oneself. Like so many ways that it's more than it looks. Whatever it is, just a moment of being yourself. listening to yourself or listening in any way gives so much. And as we've noticed this week, that it's simple but not easy. Sometimes. Sometimes it's easy and simple. Both. But sometimes it's because it's so simple that it's not easy. How could it be so simple? How could it be so simple? It is revolutionary, as you have noticed, to be kind, to pause, to leave space, to not know, to just feel, and to find that it's, Gautam Buddha said, things are not as they seem, and they are not different. So leaving room for wonder, and that it's not exciting, but it's still like so wondrous. E ma ho in Tibetan, they say. At the beginning of a teaching sometimes. E ma ho is the beginning. It says, oh, how wondrous. A breath. So we can feel how where our practice is finding a way to be in tune with what is. And we've talked this week about how that's a lot of that is getting accustomed to being receptive to so much. That's like one definition of meditation. And to bear and having that much patience, it has to be so slow because there's so much given, so intense. Life is so weird. I mean, this, for example, this. Or even just one, like, nostril. What is that? And why do we all have one? Two, even. Right in the middle of our face. And that it's like, it comes first, but what we see of it is so, so different from what everyone else sees of it. And so part of that getting accustomed to receiving, so just to be more clear, in practicing meditation, we say, okay, let's feel the breath. And then we keep finding out that I'm doing the breath. My mind is making up an image or a word that's the breath, and I'm following that. Remembered, imagined, anticipated. Version of cartoon about the breath. And then meanwhile, the breath keeps on giving itself, keeps on happening. And then also the capacity to come, oh, right, the breath. That thing that we call breath, not the breath. And we keep finding ourselves in the little hole or the little movie or the little version. And then, oh, the breath is still didn't leave just because I left. Nor did my capacity to feel, to really feel, also did not leave just because I left. So generously available, with all the time in the world coming back. And then the practice of like, oh, it's still here, it still can be felt. And that takes something, but not what I've been trained to do or give. There's something, it takes some kind of, what is that? Maybe letting go, trusting. Something is happening and is being felt. Coming, okay, breath, and then receptive. It's already happening, we don't have to make it. So that's one like really basic everywhere kind of experience of generosity, of receiving the generosity. Of tuning in to the way it is. And finding that that is more sustainable. That that is sustainable. And that continually going with the made up version of the breath, though I can't stop that from making itself up either, right away, slowly, slowly, we come to trust. To unveil, to live without that. Story of the breath. So also generosity, it's in a way, it's an unfortunate word. In some ways is fitting and a good translation of dana, but in many ways it's not, because we think about generosity often as having something that I put somewhere else, I give away. And dana, like the seed doesn't own whatever that secret is inside the seed that would unfold as a tree or a corn plant or whatever. In some ways, the seed has life in it. In some ways. In other ways, life has the seed or whatever way you want to say it. It's just mysterious. It's not a thing that's owned and then put from here to there, and that's giving. It's more limitless. More fun. So, in other words, we talked this week about watching from the outside. So we think about generosity from the outside. And how it would look, and the kind of praise, or the kind of self-praise, or the kind of reassurance, or whatever that we would get from the self-image of being generous, like doing it for the show, even if it's just to show myself. And mostly that's about feeling obliged, feeling obligated, feeling in debt. Therefore, I have to show some generosity. That could be a practice if we're not feeling another way. If we're not feeling, we can tell we're not tuned in to the way it is. And we're feeling stuck. It could be some way of like jump starting the engine. Because it kind of rhymes with, like giving something to someone kind of rhymes with the generosity of life, or giving something to myself. Even if it's not like so spontaneous or uncontrived. It might be contrived, but it still might rhyme with something more real. Or it might not. So really being ready to be very honest in discovering, and that helps us feel like that actually we trust that something keeps happening. Something keeps giving. And so, for example, generosity, interpersonally, just meeting and listening and also sharing with each other. And feeling when it could be more laid back. not trying to share something or teach someone something or listen to someone, to give them something by listening, you know. And when it's just more two human beings and we trust only possible probably through experience, or somehow we lost track of our programming for a moment and we just met. We were so tired or we were so rested or whatever, hopeless, that we happened to meet and some spark. Like it's that is one of the good conditions that helps the seed sprout, is the human meeting. And it just, it's incredibly generous, like half a second of meeting, so much can sprout. Which is maybe helpful for our perfectionism when we notice how much we're in the way, trying to be a good listener or trying to keep not to listen. You know, don't want to listen. Or trying to share or not. And so it's kind of like more towards feeling that it's already, we're on some way, we're just like we're already in somewhere that's not watchable. Also, we're already meeting. We're already in that intimacy that is also not watchable. And so when we try to watch for it, we don't find it. When we feel for it, it's there, it's here. So just like the whole practice is getting in tune with the way of things and finding that it's generous, finding that it's generative. The gen part of generosity is good. If we really think about how weird that every one of us came out of somebody else's body. There's a lot of things we don't know, and there are a few things that we do know that mostly we try not to think about. But to, like, what? I mean, really, to let that call into question so much, including our doubts. Out of wholeness comes wholeness. And it is an act of courage to feel and to trust and feel wholeness and to watch it from the inside give wholeness. And to want to be part of that and to want to be supported and supporting that. Is radical and possible, seemingly impossible. Our education about money is so, so different, so much about debt and obligation, the economy based on it. But we have all seen in our own experience something else at work, and still it's a small, huge shift that makes a difference. We've all had experiences where somehow some giving happened that led to an even more giving, which led to even more giving. A little bit of listening, though you were so tired and you didn't have it in you, but then somehow a little bit of listening, for example. And then what happened in that listening? And how that lasted a lifetime. so, so tired at the end of the day, and oh, I forgot to meditate. Oh, what I love most. Okay, well, 1 minute. I have 1 minute to just look out the window. Feel my body. Not even 1 minute needed. And then, like, looking out the window, the tree body, this body. And then, instead of 1 minute, we have 5 minutes, for example. And then those 5 minutes give everything. Then maybe we find that we have 3 hours, or the schedule for tomorrow completely changes, or we realize, I have to make that phone call. Or maybe nowadays it's not a phone call anymore. Or the phone call will be so radical. That much contact? So it's really worth playing with including and integrating money and going through all that conditioning about money and the ways we have been cheated and the way in the culture cheating is, and just even in the way that we think of advertising as something that's permissible on a daily basis, that we allow people who are openly saying, I am here to cheat you because what I am about is profit for me and a few people, to get you to do stuff that's not in your best interest, nor in the best interest of maybe anyone, including myself, but I'm still, that's what I'm doing. And I'm allowed, because of my complicated arguments and false logic, to have access to your unconscious mind throughout the day. And then the so simple reply, leaving space, and something moves, something sprouts. Did someone say something? Something moves, and something sprouts. The teachers that I've been so amazingly and mind-blowingly, whatever that is, lucky or whatever, to have in my life. I was lucky to meet them in ways and at times, culturally, where it was never, ever, even one time, not even a Dana talk. It was in India, and that Dana talk is in the culture. It's not, no one needs to say. It's changing also there. But. And so just to give the sense of that I wish we had that much time, that you were in India and you didn't know when you were leaving. So much time to receive and let it soak in, and so many kind different seasons and harvests. And then, like, oh, right. I'm part of this, and I like to be part of this. I like to, this is actually what I'd like to support in every way I can, by being in it. And even then, I had very little money that time. And I had a few traveler's checks left. And I went to my teacher's house to give them to him. And he was kind of like, he sent me away with my traveler's checks and like, I was living in a room without a door, on a roof, and there's certainly not a bathroom there on the floor, en suite. There was a tap, and he sent me home with a big water tank, empty, with help, not that heavy, but so that I could arrange for myself to have, that the tap would have water, so that I could brush my teeth there. So just the freedom, it's in a different structure here, but the freedom that it gives us all, and I hope you can receive that freedom, that being here, what you've paid for is the, you know, practical side, the ingredients, the raw ingredients. That's what your money has gone to, including getting me here. And I didn't have to pay for my food or my amazing room. But really, the retreat itself was, in a way, given, at least if we think about the money part of what that means for me to be here and not somewhere else, and for Caroline. Any sort of sense of paying for the retreat could sort of wash away, because that's really given by other people. Combination of you helping, contributing towards my airfare and train and train and bus and taxi. Very complicated. I can't quite thank you for paying for my travel, because it wasn't what I really would have liked to do that day, but then the train was so late I had to take another taxi to the other train and buy the ticket on the phone on the way. Anyway. So it just gives so much freedom to you and to me and to Caroline that you don't own me. You didn't pay for anything. I just, here I am. That's all. That's what you paid that. And so then we're free to together, like, make space, allow space, and what happens? It's so different. It might be different for me, although I've had enough practice now of just trusting what happens, leaving space. But if you'd paid me for 7 days of Dharma teaching, it could be so easy that I would feel like I needed to give you what you thought you wanted, in a way that you could recognize now. And if you didn't already recognize it from the very first day, the pressure would start building. Because you own me for the week, you're renting me. And that you could maybe feel how that would go for yourself. That's my practice, but how that would go for you. How easily the mind would go to, like, checking if I'm getting my money's worth. And it's a different mind, and different quality of space, and different invitation for what comes through. And I think it's really a way of honoring that what comes through is unownable and so much more than anyone could ever pay for. If we would have to put a price, what possibly price could we put on it? And even if we take one aspect of the retreat, which is the organizing part, it is also the organizing. Still, after all these years, it's I can't comprehend. It's I can't compute. Like how much fucking organizing is unbelievable and unending. And who would ever say yes to that? Even paid, you know? Even if someone would be paid for that. It might, and what I mean is, we couldn't afford it. And even if we could, if someone were doing it because they were being paid, it couldn't be done. Whereas this way, when it's love, 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 love. The quality of what happens in response, even to the amount of what, even to the quantity of what needs to happen, the quality of that response. So it's similar in all the different ways in our own practice and in the creation of an event that's about leaving space, what comes through about that quality. And it reminds me of the poem, The Sycamore, that recognizing, meeting the sycamore, and he says, I recognize in it a principle, an indwelling, the same as itself and greater. And so just even in that one and also so important, most important part of the whole experience, the organizing, it's like, I bow down to that. And just, wow, the willingness to say yes, knowing, having done it, and for Caroline, doing it all the time for her own teachings as well. So, really, I hope that you have the sense that there could be a retreat with organizers, without teachers. There could not be a retreat without organizers, with teachers. And I think just that can really help give a really more grounding feeling of how generosity works. It's not systematic, but plentiful. And it's, when possible, it's feeling for the quality. And so, and for some people it's easy, some people it's very hard now, this time that it comes up to you, what are you going to do now once you get your valuables back? What's right thing, how much? You know, some people for years persist in the thought that there really is a right amount that we're just not telling you. And that maybe people who've done a few retreats know, and you can just kind of, what really are you supposed to give? So just lean in and feel for a quality of, that's not about debt, obligation, should. And it's just another example of that free fall from the kind of fixation on there must be the right number that's going to come from the outside. There must be the right number from some concept. And then what if just letting go of that pressure and sense of, like, either already feeling defensive or guilty. Even though you haven't given, you already feel like you haven't given enough. Or even though you haven't given, you already feel like you've given too much, whatever your programming might be. for example. I'm sure there's plenty of other contortions around money in this culture. So just like inside crossing the path of love, really hard sometimes to give up that panicked fixation on there must be a right, to either defend myself from the pressure or the obligation or the invasion or whatever that you might feel. Just inside, it's a free fall to let go of guilt, at shame, all of that, and what happens? What feels with the quality of connection, honoring life, participation? It's big. It's hard to really, I mean, just as it's hard to receive how much the managers have done in honor of your practice. So it's that impossible palace. Of emptiness, which is also interconnectedness. It's where we meet. So, I don't actually know, because we've been so much with everything else and not catching up with Stu and Leah. So I don't know what they live on. But I know with a feeling way and a few details of what they've given and what Caroline, you know, just all the things that we were talking about instead of catching up on the last couple of years of news. The loaves of bread. Just imagine guessing ahead of time how many loaves of bread to order and asking a couple people. And it apparently all depends on the soup. So if the soup is one kind of soup, you need lots of bread. What was it? Well, platefuls of bread.
Three slices per person.
And when the soup is a meal, then you have at least 20 loaves of bread too much, if not more. And just when it's with love, like, it's so beautiful. Even when it's not what you most, you know, it's not necessarily what Caroline most would want to be doing. And it's still beautiful. And that's so hard to kind of grok. Do you have that? Do you use that word? Grok. I think it might come from Star Trek. I don't know. But it's like kind of, I think, like get the gestalt. So the wholeness. That even though it's something that she might not ask for doing, it still is done with love. It still is done by tuning into the quality and in a way, the only way to meet it. And so then that's part of our own, our practice on the team. And that doesn't mean it's not like still a gift, a huge one. So does that make sense? I think many times people, I always remember one of my friends long ago, someone had given me a beautiful dupatta, actually. Really glorious dupatta. That I have used in so many ways. Breastfeeding tent, privacy on the train. I haven't swum in it, but. And he said, oh, that, you know, you better not wear that to the Dhamma talk. That's so beautiful. And it took me, I was like, what? What? I didn't get it at first. But it's like, oh, I would need to come, like, in the, maybe with some holes in my clothing. Please, sir, could I have some more? So even though it's not that worst, horrible, so hard work that we hate and can't wait till it's over, we're still open to receive gifts that could help us continue to do the same. And I like to put it this way, that I'm not a cheap date. It's so much not the ideal. If we would really think about cost cutting so that it could just, you know, if we think from the place of lack, the way that our culture does about money, then the teacher really like should have no dependents, no aging parents, and they should also live maybe in the same house, maybe, so there's no travel, much less like cross-Atlantic travel to, you know, be with family. Maybe that it's somehow that there's no need to pay taxes, or somehow no need to buy like shoes for the kids or pay rent, you know. That somehow it should be some other world that I just, you know, maybe fill my gas with, like, waft dharma into the gas tank, the petrol tank, you call it. Rather than, you know, have to go and pay money for the gas and repairing the solar electrical system. It's so not ideal that it's the invitation to come out of the ideal into the real, and including yourself in that. So I also don't know, I just realized now, I also don't know Caroline's financial situation, but sometimes my friends ask, I always remember one person in particular running up to me after the Dana talk, between the Dana talk and the Dana giving, running up to me. I was on my way to do something about the Dana pots. And he just, I have to talk to you. This Dana thing, there's something in it. There's something in it, but is it safe? And in a way, the answer is no. Not safe. But I have lived on gifts. Except for 6 weeks as a temp secretary about 25 years ago. Apart from like jobs when I was in high school and college. And I think life was easy on me starting out where I lived in a room with no door, and things came together without much money involved. It's sumptuously, it's wonderful. And then slowly, like, having kids. And then more people like, are you sure? It's okay. And now in my life, there's tectonic movements that I really have no idea. I can't tell you that it's going to be okay, no matter how much it might give. No guarantee. But something will happen. That's true. And thank you so much for accepting like the challenge of coming off the grid in this particular way. I know it can be hard and bring up a lot. And we really wish for that to be part of your retreat. And so that's partly why it's in silence still. We can really practice staying inside the pass, in yourself, not being watched. It was our invitation to this kind of party. It's not your fault. Does anyone want to say something? To add or share briefly?
I wanted to ask about the cooks. I wasn't sure if they were going to be included in this, but
no. You have already paid them. And you've already paid them a bonus on top of what they, the minimum that we promised them. So thank you for all that amazing. There's even, I won't go into it, but even on the organizational side, the planning of the meals based on the dietary needs that we knew about beforehand, for example. Just like, wow, a work of art.
Yeah, maybe I just add to that about the cooks, and then I'll say a few things as well. That the cooks have been paid, and they do have a bonus. And in a sense, it's generous. And in another way, they have not been paid as much as if they had been here cooking for a wedding banquet for a week. So they're also very beautifully here from a place of love. That they really, really, all three of them, really wanted to come to be part of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for myself, just I want to say that it's so true for me, so much of what Jaya said, that it would have been almost like just really terrible to do that amount of organizing. That amount of managing. Leia and I were laughing last night about that amount of managing. And being paid for it in a conventional sense, it would have just been terrible.
Yeah.
And the gestalt, the wholeness that I've experienced in being, in a sense, in the heart, teaching, opening to, sharing, and organizing and going shopping. And just that being in the heart of all that has so helped me to be somehow in the heart of myself. And that I really love in my life that I know people who live solely on Dana, one of them being Dear Jaya. And that the many times that that comes to me and has, over the years, just created such a shift in terms of becoming life, becoming generosity in so many different ways. And although I don't in my teaching. I don't live solely on Dana. I have this, I've never actually put it into words, but I have this inner commitment that at least once, if not twice a year, that I'm involved in a big project and not being paid in a conventional sense, but that my giving and the receiving is as a gift. So this retreat and the 2 years ago retreat, organizing a retreat for Jaya. And also the French Yatra that Danielle mentioned. 10 years of the living and moving in amongst fields with 150 people and being involved with that and receiving Dana. I just love that I know people who live solely on Dana. It makes a completely enormous, enormous difference in my life. Yeah. that's all I'll say for now, because I just realised that until I had Amber, my daughter, so much of my path was about being silent and not talking to anybody until probably about 11 o'clock in the morning. But 15 years ago, that greatly changed. But I'll tumble back into silence now. Mm. Thank you. So gorgeous to be here with all of you.
Anyone with a question?
Can I just quickly say something about the managers?
Sure.
That's really appreciated, because the blind in my room has broken, and I just thought I'd better mention it, because I thought maybe you need to let the hall know. And but what I didn't expect was at 10 o'clock at night to be met by Stu going, "Mary, can I just check, is the blind in your room okay for you to sleep? Can you get to the room?" I was going, it's not a problem. But I just thought, to think of that and it to be 10 o'clock at night, this is what we're talking about, the amount of work that's coming on.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I just wanted to mention that.
Yes.
They're awesome. They really are.
Yes. Okay, please enjoy. Thank you.